If a person failed at any one time, does that mean that his eventual victory is impossible? Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou hast spoken peace to our hearts and offered grace that we might live in Thy will. We thank Thee for it. We pray now that as we gather our hearts to think on Thy word, that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us, that we might grow in them. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. Living has a way of going on and on. I'm sure many of you have found that that's the way life is. One day after another, on and on and on. Oftentimes we come into unexpected experiences. Things happen that we didn't look forward to. And not every event is a victory. Many times things don't go right. But not all are defeats. And that's the way life is. Failure comes easily enough. And every now and again some of us will get discouraged and think it's just no use. We're all the time failing. I want to point out to you today that failure, even in spiritual things, need not be a total loss. A person can learn from his mistakes, even in his relationship with God, even in his relationship as a Christian. A person can learn from mistakes that he makes. The successful person is not one who never fails or has never failed or has never made a mistake. There isn't anybody like that. The successful person is one who, in each failure and with each mistake, learns something. Often, a beginner will fail because he doesn't know, because he hasn't had experience. He'll oftentimes fail because of some foolish thing that he did not think was important at the time he overlooked it. But he can learn. We're going to find this as we study in the life of the Old Testament people, in the life of Israel. As Israel was coming across the desert, and as you remember the story of that career, of that event, you will remember that when they came just to the threshold of the Promised Land, they were at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea. It's a very well-known place in Old Testament history. And in the New Testament as well, especially in the book of Hebrews. They failed to go forward there, and the book of Hebrews tells you that they failed because of unbelief. Now, actually, basic to their unbelief was an error in their calculation. I want to talk with you about that. They made a mistake in their thinking. When the spies came back from the land and reported matters as they were, they told the people about it, and the people listened to the report. And they heard that the land was very desirable. It was a fertile land flowing with milk and honey. They also heard that there were difficulties and handicaps, high walled cities, and the soldiers were giants. It was enough to scare them off. Now, much of what they saw was true, and much of what they heard was true. But the error that they made, the mistake that they made was that they overlooked one important fact, namely, the will of God. What did God want them to do? That was the most important thing in that situation. Now, Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies who saw everything the others saw. And they admitted the truth of all that the others had reported. But they saw more. They saw the reality of God and of God's will. Joshua told the people, "Our God shall fight for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us?" Now I want you to note that when the people forgot this, that was the error. That's not so much a matter of definitely disobeying and openly rebelling, as just failing to recognize, failing to see. So that unbelief does not have in it always a matter of contrariness. Sometimes unbelief has in it just simply a matter of overlooking, indifference, and failing to notice, that kind of thing. This is the mistake that the majority made. They overlooked the will of God and the power of God. Joshua tried to tell them, but they couldn't see it. Now, in the way the story unfolds, 38 years later, there was a new generation. And Moses was speaking to this new generation in the book of Deuteronomy, and he wanted them to remember the mistakes that their fathers made. If they would remember those mistakes and avoid them, they could go forward and win where their fathers failed. Now, if that's true about Israel and two generations, it can be true about you and me concerning yesterday and tomorrow. It can be that I made certain mistakes yesterday that right now leave me in trouble. Tomorrow I could correct those mistakes. And I'll show you what I mean. If I overlooked something about God yesterday, and I failed to have Him in mind yesterday, today I'm in trouble. Today I'm weak. Now, tomorrow I could remember God. I could turn to God. He has ways of helping me. I could throw myself upon the mercy of God and rest myself in the strength of God and go forward tomorrow because I am trusting in Him. Now, what I mean by that is more than just words. Yesterday, when I failed to trust God, one of the reasons was I didn't read His Bible. I wasn't studying the Word of God, and I wasn't praying. I failed to read the Bible, and I failed to pray. Today, I'm weak, and I'm in defeat. Tomorrow, what shall I do? Read the Bible and pray. Let me do the thing I forgot to do yesterday. Let me correct it. And the next day I'll be given the grace to win. That's the way it'll go. Now, when we're looking at this in Israel's history and checking over the way in which Moses talked to them, Moses pointed out to them, as they were about to enter into the land, that they had a great heritage from the past. There was a record of achievement for them to remember. God had done many wonderful things among them and had brought them to that point where they were. In spite of all their failures, in spite of the many different times when they disappointed God and the times when they provoked Him because of their unbelief, still and all God had been good to them. Every day He led them with the cloud. Every night He led them with the pillar of fire. And that guidance was with them all the time, even in their foolishness, even in their mistakes. Every day He fed them with manna. Even when they were disobedient, even when they were doing wrong, He was faithful to them and fed them with manna and had the rock there for them to have water in the desert all the time. And again they found that united intercessory prayer brought victory. Just as when Joshua was fighting Amalek, Moses on the mount praying, Aaron and Hur came to hold up his hands, and united intercession brought the victory on that notable day. So it had happened again and again. And these things were in their memory. And as they were now ready to go into the land, they had this heritage from the past. And they could put up, as in the Bible it says, they could put up their altar, Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And many of you who are listening to me, you've got something to look back to. You could think back on the times when God blessed you. Remember? Remember the times when He heard your prayers. Remember the times when you turned to Him and He turned to you. I'm sure if you're a Christian listening to me, or you're a believer listening to me, that in the times of the past there have been days and there have been nights when God has been with you. Well, take it to heart. He's the same God today. Now, they also had certain lessons from the past. In the course of their years of experience, 40 years in the wilderness, there had been some horrible examples of failure, of unbelief, of disobedience. And they had been chastened. because in that 40 years' time there was that occasion when they made the golden calf and foolishly turned to worship this golden calf as if that were God. They were judged at that time. 3,000 people lost their lives. Aaron was humiliated before them all. Moses had to demonstrate to them the anger of God over this kind of foolishness. But God didn't cut them off. If you will remember that story, you will remember that Moses prayed for them. And he stayed, as it were, the hand of God in judgment and asked Almighty God to keep them in His grace and in His mercy, which He did. Some of you may remember that in that 40 years' time there was the incident when Korah led a number of his people in rebellion against Moses. They didn't like the leadership of Moses. They felt he was taking too much on himself, that he was too authoritarian, and so they criticized him. And you will recall that the whole of Israel was shocked because of the severe judgment that came upon Moses. The whole progress of the whole nation was stalled for a time because of the defection of this man, Moses. This could happen, and this had happened to them. It was a horrible example of what can happen in rebellion and of how God will judge it. And then they had wandered and wandered for 38 unnecessary years in the wilderness because they had failed to go forward when they were told to go forward. They had failed because they didn't believe in God. All of these things. In other words, they had also, as you will remember, in their lessons of the past, they had the law given to them, the Ten Commandments, the 10 words on tables of stone, telling them what God expected of them. And Moses had interpreted this in judgments from early morning till late at night. He had interpreted the application of this law of God to their daily lives. And they had set out before them God's requirements. All of these served as lessons from the past. As these people were poised at the River Jordan, ready to go forward into tomorrow, they weren't coming out of a blank wall out of the past. It wasn't just a vacuum. They had had experiences. It's true, many of them had not been glorious. It's true, they had had experiences that were really hard to bear. Some of them had been suffering experiences, but they had learned, and they had these lessons from the past. They didn't have to be that foolish in the future. They could be wiser because of what they had suffered. Then, too, there was given to them, and they had it in hand, guidance for the future. Moses repeated the law. The Ten Commandments are given the second time. That's why the book is called Deuteronomy, by the way. Those of you who have taken Latin will know that the Deuteronomy comes from two Latin words. Deuter, meaning second, and onoma, meaning law. It's the second giving of the law, because Moses repeated the Ten Commandments, the 10 words, to the people in open public presentation. And then Moses had done other things. He had taught them how to put certain scriptures and hang them on the walls like mottos to remind them. They had certain articles that were fashioned to fasten on the forehead that had scripture in them, something like you would put a locket on your neck. So they had these items put on their foreheads to remind them of the law. They had certain articles like bracelets that they put on their wrists that reminded them of the law. They had all these things. In addition to that, in their calendar, they had certain feasts during the year. There would be the Passover feast, and there would be other feasts that they had that they specially remembered, and they had certain fasts. They had certain special occasions by which their attention was drawn to certain aspects of the grace of God as it was administered among them. In addition to all that, they took a large stone and on it were chiseled the 10 words of the 10 commandments that was put out before them. And then Moses arranged a very dramatic scene. He had the tribes line up, 6 on Mount Gerizim and 6 on Mount Ebal, and between them was a large valley. These two mountains were not so far apart but what they could be heard across this canyon or this valley in between the two. Then the law was read out. And on the one side, if we will do these things obeying God, we will be blessed. Then on the other side would say, if we do not do these things, but we go contrary to these things, we will be cursed. And like a great choir in what they call antiphonal singing, one side would sing, when we do these things, we will be blessed. The other side would sing, when we do these things, we will be cursed. And this on down through the whole law. Well, you know, a thing like that would make a tremendous impression. Even the little children would see it. Just imagine 6 tribes up there on the one hilltop, for this we will be blessed. 6 tribes on the other hilltop, for this we will be cursed. And in between in this valley, I think that's what we commonly think of in the Bible as the valley of decision, in between the two. In this way, Moses was seeking to give them guidance for the future, and that came out of their past. And now those of you who are listening to me, out of your past, you have had certain experiences. You've learned certain things. And these things are to be for you to go by. You see, you could actually move into blessing tomorrow that you missed yesterday. And if you're listening to me as a person and you have to admit things haven't gone well with you spiritually, and actually the truth were just known, it's not as good as it could be in your own soul. All right? Brother, it could be better. Sister, you could change it. You could learn from the past. Those lessons are for you, and you could get guidance out of the past. Those mistakes you made can be useful. You can learn from them. Moses also indicated to them, but later in the time of Joshua it became more clear, there was a certain principle that they would always follow for their progress. Now let me see if I can point it out to you, something that Joshua was told, and you'll find it in the first chapter of Joshua. This is the promise that was given to him. He was told, of course, to lead the people into the land, as you know. Now, God told him that all the land, all the country, from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates River, the Mesopotamian Valley, that whole country was theirs for the taking. Then gave them this principle. As much as you take, that's what you'll get. And that's what I want to tell you about the promises of God. All the promises of God are yours, but actually, you're going to have just exactly what you take. These are the words that he used with them. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. Now, they had the right to go in anywhere they wanted to, from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates River. They'd get just as much as they'd take. They would possess only what they took. I have many, many times used this illustration of a hostess coming by with a tray on which are cups of cocoa or of coffee. She has beverage, and she takes it to her guests. Perhaps it's tomato juice, and she brings this beverage to her guests, and she holds the tray before her guests. Suppose you were a guest in that house, and the tray is held before you. You know what will be involved, what's necessary for you to get that tomato juice? You have to reach up and take it. You know what you'll need to do to get that coffee? You'll reach up and take that cup. And you know who's going to get coffee? The people who reach up and take it. Now that's the way it is with the promises of God. There are some things about the blessing of God he doesn't push on you. He'll give you. He offers to you. And every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon. By the way, if you're thinking about this with me, I wish you'd do something for yourself sometime. You may be all alone when you try to do it. Think about this. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. Now get up on your feet. Step out with 1 foot in front of you. Put your weight on that foot. Now, put the other foot in front of you. Put your weight on that foot. You won't have to do it often. Now do it 1 more time. Now put the other foot in front of you. Put your weight on that foot. What happened? What's been happening while you've been putting down 1 foot, your weight on it, then another foot, your weight on it, then another foot, your weight on it? You know what's been happening? You've been moving. Certainly. You've been making progress. Why, yes. And that's the way it is in spiritual things. As you take in the promises of God, you move from point to point to point. It's the principle of progress. to receive from God the promises of God. Now, there's another thing that's important and is necessary, and that is that after you've heard about this, like you've been hearing me now and thinking about this thing, you need to act. And for action, it requires a certain decision. You have to decide. You have to actually decide you're going to do it. I could put it to you this way. If you were thinking about going somewhere, perhaps going downtown, and you're thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it, finally you decide you're going to go downtown. So you decide you're going to go downtown. Will that get you downtown? What do you have to actually do in order to get downtown? It's not very tricky. You know what you have to do? Start out. That's what you have to do. You have to take action and start out. You've thought about Bible reading, and you've thought about Bible reading, and you've thought about Bible reading and Bible study, and you're in favor of Bible reading and Bible study. It doesn't happen, and it won't happen until you start. You have to open the Bible and read it. Believe me, action is the greatest cure for depression that you ever heard of. If you feel badly, you feel downhearted, start something. And you know what the Lord said to Joshua? Go over this Jordan. And in your case, open that Bible you've got right there on your table. Open that one and start reading that one. Now, for yourself, make a note of it. You shouldn't let 24 hours go by. You should do this right soon, even today. Take your Bible and start somewhere. It won't make so much difference where it is, because you're just getting started. After a while, you'll want to talk intelligently and read intelligently, and you can plan that too. But start action. It'll be a blessing to your soul. There's something else that they could know, and that is that as they move forward, day by day, they're to obey. Victory is by obedience. You see, victory in the life of a Christian, you're trusting in God, you want to be blessed of God, that will be in you by the power of God, by the action of God. Now, God's going to act, and He's going to exercise His power in response to faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, you can read this in the book of Joshua. You'll find out that the way in which they won the victory in Jericho was by doing exactly what God said. You'll find out that the way they were defeated at Ai is that one of them did not do what God said, and there was sin in the camp. You'll find out that when they were dealing with Gibeon, these people who deceived them, who fooled them, who swindled them into an agreement that they didn't want to make, it is because they overlooked turning to God. They did not ask advice from God about that before they entered into it. Obedience is essential for victory. I can put it that way. It doesn't have to be any great big thing. Just let us do what we're supposed to do. Just do it. You don't have to do all of it. Just start it. God will bring it to pass. Now, one more thing that I can bring to your attention. Joshua knew that he wasn't going to be with them all the time. And so he committed them. He committed them to carry the program through. He planned a total campaign to victory. And he challenged them publicly to commit themselves. We come to the end of the book of Joshua. We come to those famous words. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've been glad to have this chance to talk to you today. And I'm so glad I had this particular message to give you at this time. Let me tell you one thing for sure. No matter how yesterday was discouraging and disappointing, tomorrow doesn't have to be that way. Even if today you're unhappy and disappointed, the reason you are, you didn't do right yesterday. Change it. Start doing what God wants you to do. Read the Bible and pray. Turn to God, and tomorrow you'll see the glory of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, add Thy blessing to those of us as we are reading these things, studying these things. Grant that we may learn thereby, and we will give Thee the praise and the glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.